Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on three. One, two, three.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
From the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. We are broadcasting live Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay. What a weekend, huh? Coming up? Larger than normal crowd here. We got a divisional weekend coming up. The Seattle Seahawks coming to town, 5:40 kickoff, and the Lodge Kohler kickoff is underway, brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham. We're going to talk with Aaron Jones, running back of the Green Bay Packers, momentarily. Also, we're going to be talking with Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here. Desi is here from Lodge Kohler. How you doing today? How you been? Let me get this really close there. There we go, and now let's try that. Better?
Yes.
There we go. Okay. How you doing?
Very good.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
So we're obviously doing the fireside chat today, and we're doing the wine and everything. What did you bring us today that everybody can kind of feast on, so to speak, before we get ready for this game?
Well, this is a brand new addition to our wine list. This is wine coming from Washington, believe it or not. It's called Nine Hats. It's from Columbia Valley. Very delicious, very balanced, layers perfectly. For this time of the year, I think it's fantastic.
For this time of the year?
This time of the year is fantastic.
Drinking in the snow, right?
Drinking in the snow, especially tomorrow. Chef Joe is preparing great specials this weekend, and this is going to pair perfect with Osobuco or any of the steaks.
There you go. And they can get it upstairs at Tavern in the Sky as well?
Yes.
So if you come to Lodge Kohler, very much ask for the wine. What's the name of it again?
Nine Hats.
Nine Hats. There you go. Desi, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming by. Absolutely. You can get it at Lodge Kohler, and cheers to those of you. As the Green Bay Packers hopefully get a win this weekend, we're going to get our guest of honor here with a headset on coming up here momentarily, Mike Clements alongside. Mike, how you been, buddy? You've been up here all week.
Been good.
Yeah?
It's been kind of quiet around here.
Yeah?
To me, I want to ask Aaron Jones if he feels that same way. And it's just because it seems like coming off of last week's bye.
Yeah.
And then just the fact that it's, you know, the weather has been mild up until this weekend and everything. It's just everything has been kind of quiet and business paced and all that. And these guys are pacing themselves or working on that. I don't know, though. You know, you'd have to ask someone that's going to have to play in this game, you know,
right.
what their emotions are like and all that.
There is nothing
but
like.
But it's been very, everything's been on schedule and businesslike and nothing, you know, that it's not like it's felt in other times where it seems to be hectic and chaotic, and because there's so many people here from out of media, everyone, it's just sort of clicked along.
You got the weather coming. Everybody's geeked up for that. Ladies and gentlemen, sitting down there, Aaron Jones here is with us tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Well,
now, I haven't had to run out for 2 hours of practice every day, that kind of thing, or get up at 6:30 in the morning and lift weights, or be in the training room and sit through 5-6 hours of meetings and all that. But to me, it's just like this has been a pretty chill week for the fact that you're in your first week of the postseason.
Yes, sir. It's just been like any other week. But you can tell practice has been a little bit more, the guys there have been a little bit more locked in. Focus, the execution has been there, but you still see guys loose, having fun, dancing, being themselves, and that's how it should be.
So during the bye week, let's start there. What'd you do?
Stayed here. We had practice 2 days during that bye week, and then had the weekend off. So I stayed here. My parents, my mom, relaxed. And then I went to some teammates' houses and watched the games, and then.
Yeah.
That was it.
So getting ready for this contest, obviously the offense didn't function great in Detroit. So was there a lot of self-scout the last week or two as to what it is you guys need to do better. There's been times that it's looked pretty good. You just haven't had a full four quarters yet. But usually during that bye week, you do take a lot of time to self-scout.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of self-scout that was done on that bye week that we had. Not knowing which team we were going to be preparing for, we did a lot of self-scouting and then prepared for, as if we were playing kind of four teams, a little bit of game plan-ish, but it was more focused on that and fixing those little details, correcting them so it's like smooth when we get out there.
Yeah.
So how many meetings a week do you have just with your head coach, Ben Sermons, and the running backs coach and you guys that are in the running backs team? How many meetings a week in that classroom?
Man,
five, six a week or so?
We have a lot of meetings. I would say probably we have about six meetings in a day.
It's so kind of like going to class, right?
It's like going to school. So you get there in the morning, you lift, or you could either lift after practice. But as soon as you get there, team meeting after team meeting, special teams meeting after special teams meeting, offense, defensive meeting.
Team meeting, everybody's in there. And Coach LaFleur's at the front to sort of set the tone for the day, right?
Yes, sir. We don't have a team meeting every day, but to start the week, like today we had one as well. We'll have one tomorrow. So we start the week and then the end of the week.
And then is there another meeting where Nathaniel Hackett, your offensive coordinator, is he running the meeting? And then you're mixed in there with maybe quarterbacks and the other perimeter guys? You know, what are those other kinds of arrangements like?
So most of the time we're actually in there as a big group. The offense, we stay in the team room. In the team room. So we'll have different segments where each coach has a chance to get up there and they give their script on the game and stuff like that. And so one group, you might be with everybody in there. And then the next time, it may be just the quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Then another time, it might be just the quarterbacks, O-line, tight ends, and quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So you get your different groups in there, and then you also have individual meetings after that with just your position.
And these guys are showing you all kinds of different clips of plays and things that they've gone through that they want to point out mistakes or they want to praise, you know, say, hey, this is great, this is the way this should look, or that you've got to prepare your opponent. And you're going to see clips of this week. You've been seeing a lot of this tape of Seattle's defense and their tendencies.
Oh, yes, sir. So our coaches actually put together some cut-ups. We'll go out there and what we do, we practice and then come back in and they'll, like you said, they break down the film, what we did good, what we need to correct, and then they'll put up a mirror image next to it of the play while we're running this play, and it'll be another team and how it looked when they ran it and what we see on that play and what the coach is seeing while we're running this play.
I'm sure you just want to get through these meetings, get to the point, but anybody joking around in there? Anybody teasing each other?
I mean, meetings are fun. And people cracking jokes. Coach LaFleur crack a joke, make sure everybody's still awake.
Yeah.
Still awake. He gives us little five-minute breaks. So during the five-minute breaks, we have a basketball hoop in there, and we just shoot. So he keeps it fun in there, though.
What has the mood been like this week? Now that you know your opponent, you knew Seattle was going to be the team. You saw that team go on the road and get a win and the way they did. What was the mood like? Because there's a lot of young guys in there that haven't been in the postseason, even some of the veterans that haven't been in the postseason before.
Definitely locked in. But, I mean, we've been playing football our whole career, so down the line somewhere we've played in critical, crucial games. And feel like throughout the last stretch of the season we're in playoff-type games as well. But you're right, we haven't had a lot of guys who've played in the playoffs. But our vets have stepped up and been very vocal, letting us know, hey, you don't have to do anything more than what you've been doing.
I was going to say, what are they telling you? How do you suppress the anxiety of getting to Sunday?
I mean, it's anxiety every Sunday to get to Sunday. But just knowing you just have to do your 111. You don't have to do anything more than you've been doing all season. Just do your job, and it'll take care of itself. You don't have to go out there and press to make plays because you're in the spotlight or something like that. So,
you know, Aaron, this week I talked to Jamal Williams about all right, it's playoffs, and you got all these network people here, and so that, you know, and you start, you come home, you turn on the NFL Network, say, oh man, there we are again. So you get it. I mean, you start talking about, as you guys discuss, it's the outside, you know, the hype, the build up, the excitement, the fans are people coming here early, the airport's busy, you know, everything. So you feel that, you feel that. But Jamal said, you know, I've been working with this Dr. Christopher Carr, who's, you know, part of the team now, and he's a psychologist, but for performance, you know. And so I asked the coach about this. He says, yeah, this is just as important going to the training room and working on your sore leg or something, is then go just work on your mind and do some of these mental exercises. And not only him, he brought that up. Kevin King brought it up. A whole bunch of players said, yeah, we talked to Dr. Carr. That's become a regular routine. Even Aaron Rodgers talked about that about a month ago. That's part of your routine now, right?
Definitely. I talked to Dr. Carr, and throughout everybody's time in the facility, they've encountered Dr. Carr and talked to Dr. Carr. And that's a great resource to have in the facility, because 80% of the game is mental, is what everybody says, and I agree. Just executing is mental, little things. So he's been a big help. He actually got him from the Pacers. We share him with the Indiana Pacers. So I'm glad they share him with us, but I actually used to have a wristband that says "Keep Doubting Me." I would always wear it, and I don't know actually what happened to it. But he, through meeting with him, sitting with him, he was like, "What gets you going? What triggers you?" Like, and just talking to him, and then he was like, "Whatever it is, I want you to write it on your tape, because I tape my wrist and write it." And he was like, "When you go out there, look at it and let everything go." And he was like, "Start the series like that every time. Let everything go." And I honestly think it's helped him. He's been nothing but a help.
So little mental exercises like that to just help the discipline of your emotions and your mental approach to a game or practice or just every day, right?
Yes, definitely every day. Just not only in football, but off the field as well. Just never too high, never too low is really what it comes to. And just believing in yourself.
That stuff would work for me. Of course, I get a list that says, please take out the garbage. Please remember to go to the store and get some milk, you know. And, you know, you still haven't changed oil on your car. But that's for my wife.
We all get that.
Not my team performance psychologist.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We're talking with Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. We are brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham and also Lodge Kohler, our friends up here as well. Stay tuned. We got more of the Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up next. Welcome back. We are here at Lodge Kohler, and thanks to Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, Sartori, our friends at the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management as well, all sponsors of the Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels. You want to follow us on the social media platforms? Easy to do so. Go to Facebook and Lodge Kohler kickoff. Same thing on Instagram, or just Kohler kickoff on Twitter. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here today. Also Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers, up here tonight as well, getting ready for the game. 5:40 kickoff this Sunday over at Lambeau Field. They face the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round. The winner then faces the winner of the Minnesota Vikings-San Francisco 49ers game. It was interesting, you and I had spoken right after that 49ers game, and I'm not jumping ahead, but I kind of am, because one of the things that was stated to me by yourself and a couple of the other guys was, you know, I said, man, that 49ers game, that score ended up lopsided. It just looked bad. And one of the things that was said was, nah, we really played our worst game in L.A. against the Chargers. The 49ers game, we were kind of toe-to-toe for a while. We just made mistakes, and we had some communication errors. So now that the postseason is upon you and you're sitting here today, how confident is this group? You don't want to look over the fence, but you got to go kind of puff your chest out a little bit and go, yeah, we're 13-3, and I think we got this.
Never thinking we got this, but definitely confident. We were confident in what we have in our locker room and what we can do, and we know we feel like we're time to put it all together. So we're definitely confident in that sense and feel like we can win this game.
So we're in Detroit 2 weeks ago, and you're moving. The game is close, and then Aaron Rodgers, apparently, he calls the plays in the two-minute offense, and he calls a screen. He kind of chuckled when I asked him about it the other day. He says, you know, I kind of use some old terminology, not LaFleur terminology, but this guy picked up on it, runs off to the right, turns around, and as Aaron Jones told me after the game, was, I don't know how Rodgers got the ball to me.
Because, and you can see there's a guy crashing down on Aaron Rodgers, okay? And then there's two other guys, and there's two Packers offensive linemen. And the ball seems to, you know, just sort of go between four or five people before it gets to him about waist high. He turns, runs up the field, 31 yards, and sets up the winning field goal.
Did you see it? Did you see it coming?
I kind of lost it for a second, so I kind of, like, caught it out here because it was like yeah. you said, it was through people. And I'm just like waiting, kind of seeing where it was going to go, and kind of hit me right here. And I'm, as I'm running, I'm like, how did he get that to me? Like,
yeah. It was, so that's going, as you're taking it into the end zone, your mind is going, how did he get me the ball?
Yes, definitely. Because he definitely extended, he was under pressure. He extended the play and put his arm at a weird angle and just zipped it in there. And that got us down there in the field goal range, and we ended up winning the game. So,
but to me, Aaron, that's almost like the epitome of the season. It's finishing, finding ways to win. And you know, it's been close games back and forth all year. But that's how you got to 13-3. And to me, that's probably what's going to carry you through these next couple of games, right?
Yes, sir. And I'd definitely say that's one of the positive things, one of the scary things, like when other teams look at us. We've been in those situations this whole year, one point games down last minute, and we'll execute. We'll come out and do what we need to do, and we'll win that game. So we know what it's like to be in those situations. So when the time comes, we're ready for it.
The whole week, and going all the way back to last week, a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers and about the offense and about the accuracy and all that. Does any of that ever leak in? Do you ever just kind of smile and go, ah, we can't wait to get back at it. We can't wait to show them. We can't wait. Because guys hear that. I mean, some guys wake up one morning and watch SportsCenter. The other guy wakes up and watches the NFL Network. The other guy's watching Fox. I mean, everybody sees that stuff, right?
I don't watch a lot of TV. you guys don't want to watch a lot of TV. But yeah. It's actually funny. Like, you call this guy – you said this guy's not accurate. It's just like, I don't even listen to it because it's not believable.
Right.
Why waste your time even reading yeah. to something that you know is not true? You know your quarterback's right. accurate, so it's so, waste the time.
Really? Okay. I just didn't know guys like talked about that stuff. Aaron always talks about the white noise and keeping the white noise out, but yet somehow things get back to you, you know?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, you definitely read what's being said about you, like, definitely, but I mean, people use that as motivation. That's, I definitely use it as motivation. So,
talking about Sunday coming up, the possibility of snowstorms and such, and then maybe it'll ease up a little bit and go away by the time you guys kick off on Sunday night. But the kid from New Mexico wanting to know what snow was all about. You guys have already played in a few snow games. Do you look forward to a little bit of inclement weather?
I mean, I play in any weather. Just get me on the field. So we played in snow already. We played –
did you enjoy it? Do you enjoy it?
I definitely do. I mean, I feel like it's an advantage. People definitely don't want to hit in the snow or fall on the ground. The ground's harder. The ball's harder. Everything hurts a little bit more. So, see guys kind of shine away from it.
A lot of talk this week about the field because the field this year has been a little bit slick. You told me, you said, this is nothing new. It's been slick the last couple of years. Is there anything different you have to do for the preparation for this coming Sunday as far as cleats, as far as the footing? Do you go out and test it ahead of time to see where it's at?
I always come out of warm-ups in the cleats I normally wear for the game, and depending on how they feel and that, I may go switch them or I may stay in the same cleats that I usually like to wear. I usually like to wear molded, and then if I need to, I'll switch to the detach.
So you don't watch much TV, but if you turned on the NFL Network last night, they're playing a game from 5 years ago, the NFC Championship. And it's at halftime, and Green Bay is up 16-0. Russell Wilson has thrown three interceptions in the first half and has a quarterback rating of zero. And it's like, well, what could possibly go wrong? Well, everything
sports.
Ends up
going. Yeah, sports.
It's sports.
Can't take anything for granted.
Well, the
league.
Fact is these two teams have played three or four times since then. You played last year. You played a close game. So in your preparation this week, are you looking at are there things that you know in your own mind from the experience of last year's game that you guys are taking into preparation for Sunday night's game here at Lambeau?
Definitely. I mean, you can take things from last year's game, their schemes, their tendencies, what they like to do on certain down and distances. You can take those things from those games and even blitz packages because they've kept generally the same people and minus the free agents and rookies, but so it's a good thing that I feel like it's a good thing that we have played them, kind of feel familiar with them.
Yeah.
Do you feel all the eyes on you guys? You guys are the late game, the last game, Sunday night. Do you guys feel like you've got all the eyes on you?
Not really. I mean, I feel like it's any other game. Like, yeah. I mean, like a Monday night game, all the eyes on you, but it doesn't feel, it just feels like a normal
game. The difference is
Monday
night, you go back to practice on Tuesday and you get ready for Sunday. This one is a little bit different.
Well, we'll be playing the next week as well.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
I will say good answer. That's a good answer. I like that. So this week, we've talked a lot about the preparation. What have you guys done? You said that, Coach, you guys are locked in. It's tough to be locked in and intense and not really kind of be loose as well. You guys feel like, you know, same team, same looseness. You know what's at stake, but there really isn't, you know, you're not amped up yet, put it that way.
Definitely. I mean, guys are amped up. I'm amped up. I mean, it's the playoffs,
right.
And we're at Lambeau,
right.
So it doesn't get any better than that. But I mean, we got the chance to lock in due to that bye week. We got the chance to nail those details. So now we're at practice. We're hitting those details. Everything's smooth in the places we're supposed to be. When the ball's coming, we're in the spots we're supposed to be. Scramble drill, everything. We're there. So,
do you feel the offense sputtered at times this season? Do you feel the offense now? You've had an entire season. You've had a bye week. You've kind of self-scouted, like you said. You're trying to take care of details. Do you feel the offense right now is as locked in as it's ever been, or do you feel that you still have a long way to go?
No, I definitely feel like we're locked in as we've ever been. We've grown a lot throughout the season, and we feel like it's definitely time to put a complete game together.
When you said veterans have talked about the postseason, I know Aaron had mentioned talking to some of the guys. Mason was here last week. He said guys will come up to him and ask him, is there a lot of the one-on-one chatter, a little small group chatter, or do you get veterans that stand up and say, this is what it is, this is what we have to do, this is what we have to focus on?
You get a little bit of both, and then Coach LaFleur kind of took the role of that.
Because he's a rookie head coach, first time
know.
As well.
He put up some article of a veteran, Malcolm Jenkins, of what he said when he was a rookie, and then one of the vets stood up and also piggybacked off of that. And it was pretty much saying that you don't have to do anything extra than what you've been doing.
Right.
So, you know, Matt LaFleur is focused so much on this week, this game, and this year, this team. And I said to him today, I said, "No, you understand that fans, they'll come up and talk to us about some game from 30 years ago. They can remember everybody in the roster. They can remember every play. Because fans, you know, they've grown up with this, and it's part of their history. And so when you get to this time of the year, and it's postseason, and there's 6 to 12 inches of snow on the way, and the lights, and you're playing a rival like this, it brings that all together. You know, that, I mean, this is what this place is all about, man. This is tundra." And I said, "So have you talked about that at all this week?" And he said, "You know, we did a little bit, but," he said, "it's still, I got to keep it on the road. But it's got to be this week, this game plan, those kinds of things." As a player, though, because you know what? You're already in the annals, pal. You know, when I think of all the great running backs that have been through here most recently, you know, Mon Green, even Eddie Lacy for a couple of years, forget about the great numbers you put up this year. You're already in. You've already done some things that fans will be talking about 20, 30 years from now. But do you ever get a chance to just sort of stop for a moment in those stands and savor that moment to say, I want to take this with me forever?
Definitely. You run out of Lambeau, they introduce you. You look up on that screen, you see your face, you see your height, your weight, your school. It's not a lot of people that come out of my school, so when I run out of that, it's very special to me. And I just take that in as something I'll never forget. So
let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. On that note, Aaron Jones alongside Mike Clemens. I'm Bill Michaels. Stay tuned. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Brought to you by our friends at Hubie and Abraham Lodge Kohler and Under Warmer. We've got more right after this. Welcome back to the program. We are glad you are on board. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We're broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, across the street from Lambeau Field, and getting you ready for the game coming up this Sunday. 5:40 kickoff. It is a divisional round. The Seattle Seahawks are coming to town. And one of our official sponsors is Hupien Abraham. He is here. Jason Abraham is here hanging out with us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to be here with Aaron.
For coming on, yeah. And Aaron Jones, obviously, running back for the Green Bay Packers, is here as well. You know what's funny, Jason, is they said, hey, Jason's going to come on. I said, okay, cool. And then they gave me this laundry list of all the awards and all the stuff you guys have done with your law firm. You want to go through them real quick?
No.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to check because it's like, well, the segment's done by the time we get done going through all the awards that you guys have. Because you guys have been sponsors of this, obviously, our basketball show down in Milwaukee for a long, long time. You guys have done a lot, and you guys have been a big supporter of this program, but also of a lot of the guys like Aaron here as well.
Yeah, you know, I've been so lucky to meet Aaron a bunch of times before, have dinner with him, spend time with him on the road and a couple of things, and he is such a gentleman. I've met his parents, and they are the greatest people, so I can see why he is so awesome, because his parents are so great. His mom is here, and it's just such a pleasure to be around them. And, you know, part of the luck of being successful in our craft, you know, we've represented over 70,000 people and collected over $1 billion, and that allows us to sponsor shows like this and get to meet great people like Aaron. And you know, I'm just so grateful to have gotten to know Aaron, and he's just a great guy.
Yeah, last year we saw you at Super Bowl. Unfortunately, you weren't there as far as the team goes, but you were there and hanging out with Mom. So we said, was it the Mike Ditka party, was it? The Cigars with the Stars that we ended up going to? Yeah, it was a great time. We're talking about childhoods and fighting with brothers, knocking over couches, running backs against one another, running back against linebacker. I mean, you want to get to know somebody, ask Mom. Maybe we'll bring Mom up in
That'd
the last
great.
Segment of the show.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll bring Mom up. So, Aaron, tell me a little bit about life outside of football, because not only do you do stuff like this, but you do some charitable stuff. You work with guys and sponsors and friends like Jason. I mean, you have – it's not just like you go home and sit with your Surface Pro and flip through plays all night, right?
Oh, definitely don't do that. No, I do flip through it a
Coach
lot.
Coach may be listening.
No, definitely do flip through it, but – no, you are doing things off the field as an athlete. I feel like one thing you should be doing is using your platform, giving back to the community, sharing your blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron, I have a couple questions. As I'm sitting here shaking my leg because I'm so nervous for Sunday and it's only Friday night, as a player, like, what do you do to keep yourself just ready to go on Sunday, knowing you'll probably have a light practice tomorrow and then you'll have all this free time? Like, what do you do?
Tomorrow I worry about practice. I got to get through practice and meetings. And then after that, get to see my family. So enjoy the time I get to spend with them, and then go back up there for meetings. It happens so quick. And then in the hotel for the night, and then the next day is kind of the long day because we don't play till the late game. So probably won't have to be to the stadium till around 3. So it's like I said. Oh no, well, actually, we probably won't have meetings tomorrow night. We'll have them Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So they'll get us in there moving around. Usually on the late games, we have meetings in the morning. So it kills some of the time.
You're so used to this routine where you'd play a game at noon on a Sunday, and now that the game is going to be at 5 o'clock, does that seem so different this late in the year?
It doesn't. We play week 16.
Monday night,
so it doesn't, but during the course of the season, once you get those stretches of 3 or 4 12 o'clock games in a row, you do kind of get used to that, and then it's the light when you're like, man, I got all this time, what do I do? So you do catch yourself saying that during the season.
You talked about spending time with your family. Your mom and everybody is here. Your brother's here. Obviously, your brother's a football player as well. When you two get together, is it talking about other stuff, or because of his career and your career and the intermeshing and watching each other? And do you sit and talk football at all?
Talk everything. Definitely was talking football. He's always giving me tips. He should definitely be a coach when he's done playing.
He plays defense.
He does.
Yeah. So when he says gives you a tip, I mean, is it dipping your shoulder? Is it spin moves?
Blocking linebackers.
Right.
Because I'm an undersized back, so they like to just come in there and bull rush me, just run straight at me and try to run me over. So I've been run over a couple times, but as long as I don't give up the sack, I'm good.
You had a block. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was the Monday night against Minnesota. You picked up a blitz. Do you remember what I'm talking about? I mean, it was a square, and it was as hard as, and it was as stymieing as I've ever seen. And all I kept thinking was, is that when you lift it up, and I the linebacker coming from the outside, I can't remember, but I remember right, because I wrote it in my notes, you had to hear him go, like the wind going out. It was like, I don't know if he didn't see you or what. It was like he was running and ran into a glass wall. Just didn't see it coming.
I don't remember the play, but let me say I'm glad I got the job done.
I'll talk to Aaron Rodgers, and he'll go, oh, yeah, that was an X out, and I had this guy in coverage, and I had this, and that was this play, and then he'll go through the whole thing. You're just – the game's a blur. We won. I'm moving on, right?
He's so used to those plays.
I'm just glad I was on the delivering end of the blow.
The point is that you become – one of the things that you went out this past year, you said you wanted to become a better receiver and a better blocker. You already knew what your ability was to run the football. Do you feel that you've accomplished the better blocker portion of this?
I feel like I've accomplished both of them, becoming a better receiver, better blocker, better runner as well, and just got a better understanding of the game, a better player all around.
As you're preparing and getting ready for the game on Sunday, what do you think your biggest challenges is going to be in your role?
My biggest challenge is probably man, that's a great question. My biggest challenge probably would be just They have great defense. They have a good linebacker, probably one of the best linebackers in the league. So, just staying consistent, and I like to try to take every touch I have to the house. So, I think that'd be my challenge, is trying to take every carry I have to the house. So,
how difficult is it to in this kind of weather to hang on to the football?
It's not hard.
Yeah.
No.
You guys
we practice it, yeah. So
I was going to say, you guys had a few turnovers in Detroit, and that's one of those things that normally sinks a team. You guys had incredible resilience to come back and win that game. But in this weather, does it change things?
I don't know. We do ball drills out here in the cold. I mean, we've been practicing in the cold all year, so we're used to it. We play in the cold. So.
Yeah. The importance, what is it more important to do in this system? Run the football, catch the football, or make sure Aaron doesn't get creamed?
Okay, repeat that again.
I heard that. I said, what's the most important thing? The role as a running back in the Green Bay Packers offense in this system is to run the ball, catch the ball, or make sure Aaron doesn't get creamed.
I would say it would depend on what the play is. It would depend on what the play is, because some plays I'm in the backfield, but I don't have protection. Yeah. So I might be on a route, and my job is to catch the ball. So the most important thing then is to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Or if it's a run play, they're tossing it to me. The most important thing to do then is run the ball.
How often do you get a run play call that Aaron will signal when he gets to the line of scrimmage that we're going to throw the ball? And then it changes for you. The dictatorial changes for you.
It's not he does do that sometimes, but it's not so much that we'll have run pass options on the play. So if it's a dirty look, he'll have like two receivers designated to run routes, even though we have a handoff going on.
Yeah.
So if he sees like a blitz, a dirty look, instead of handing it off, he'll just stop and throw it to those guys.
But when you don't get it, you know your responsibilities for whoever's coming through that gap.
Take the hit off the quarterback.
There definitely. He goes. Unfortunately. Another one, Jason?
No, you're definitely right. That was the number one rule in the running back room when I got there is protect the quarterback.
Protect the quarterback.
It's been fun to watch on social media and see how loose you guys have been in practice this week. I was watching some snaps, and I saw you and Jamal dancing all around, and I guess I'd want to know who's the better dancer between you and Jamal.
I would definitely say Jamal. He's been teaching me throughout the year, so he's got me comfortable enough to be dancing in practice.
I've seen it on the field in pregame.
Oh, yes.
Well, there's a lot of that pregame going on
he's
now.
Got me comfortable, so let's credit to Jamal. He's a great teacher. He even has some of the old Amid dance.
So maybe the next time we get you two together on the program, we have a little karaoke, a little dance-off, stuff like that. Maybe do something to that effect. Yeah, we make it a television show at that point. Jason, a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming
Thanks for having
out with us, and certainly appreciate your sponsorship. And I love the fan questions. I mean, I know you're around it and you're kind of here with us, but I love the fan questions with your different perspectives.
It's exciting. Well, Aaron, congratulations and good luck on Sunday. I'm so grateful to be able to spend a little time with you, and I know you're going to do great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jason Abraham from Hupie and Abraham, and you can find him there. Fine spot for the program. Aaron Jones, stay tuned, because when we come back, that young lady is going to join us up here. Aaron Jones' mom is going to be here. Stay tuned. We got more after this. Welcome back to the program. It is the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, and a terrific place to stay, and a terrific place, obviously, on game day weekend. But even when it's not game day weekend, come in and enjoy yourself here at Lodge Kohler. We are brought to you by a lot of great people. The Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame announced that the Green Bay Packers legends, Brett Favre and Jordy Nelson, they've been selected for induction into the 70th anniversary class. And that's going to happen on June 5th, 2020, this year out in Madison. Select tables are going to afford the guests an opportunity to mix and mingle with the current and past Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Famers. And if you want to get some tickets and you want to get involved, 414-727-3605. That's 414-727-3605. Joined now here, Aaron Jones, which that's a nice round of applause for Aaron Jones, running back for the Packers. But let's be honest. He wouldn't even be running the ball for the Green Bay Packers if she didn't have him, and that is Aaron Jones' mom is hanging out with us. How you been?
I've been great.
Yeah? No, that's okay. There you go. You've been good?
I've been very well.
So one of the things, and you remember this, so when we had you on, I think it was the first one of the season, we had you on with Manny Wilkins.
Yes, sir.
And I looked at Manny, and I said, you know what? Manny knows you inside the locker room better than I do. So this woman knows you way better than Manny does. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the show to you, and you can interview him.
All righty then.
So how are we looking, ladies and gentlemen? There we go. You shoot with whatever you want to ask him at this point.
Okay, Aaron, I know you say that it's not stressful or you don't have anxiety when it comes to the big games, but please tell us how you really feel.
How I really feel, I can't wait to get out there. I mean, this is something I feel like I was born to do, so I just get anxious to get out there, not so much nervous.
Has he always been like that?
He's always been like that. I think I am the one that takes up his stress and anxiety.
Yeah, she takes it all out for me, so thank you.
Yeah, but it's on a different level this time. We've never been at this level, so
right.
I wonder sometime how do he really handle it. I know how I'll handle it, but how do he really handle it? And is he really expressing his emotions about or being real about it?
I am. I don't know. It's weird. I said in the locker room today, people ask me, do I still get nervous for games? And I said, usually at the beginning of every season, the first game, I'll have a little butterflies like I've had as a little kid, and the first snap goes and butterflies out the window, and it seemed never they don't come back. So we'll see when I get out there Sunday, but I'm just excited to be out there.
Do you notice when you're watching him on the sideline, do you notice? Like if he's ramping up, if he's good about it, if he's good with what's going on, do you would notice every nuance, right?
Well, but to be honest, no, I have to worry about myself. I have been doing good the last 3 years. No, the last 2 years, because we wasn't on winning seasons. This year, I've noticed when we got to the Minnesota game, I started back having anxiety attacks when it was coming to the game. So yeah. I spent a lot of time in the bathroom. I spent a lot of time in the bathroom because a lot of stadiums, you can't hear the game in the bathroom, and you always have some nice ladies in there, and you're talking,
yeah.
And it kind of takes my mind off of the game. And then
you're sharing recipes. My son's running the football into the end zone. Hear those cheers? Yeah, that's for him. But
she'll
tell me how to baste the turkey.
She'll tell me she saw me scroll on the TV. I'm like, what do you mean you saw me scroll on the TV? She's like, I got too nervous. I had to walk out. And so I've understand. It's just something that she's been it was more so when we play basketball.
Yeah.
It gets so competitive in basketball. You can see everything. I'd see my mom kind of just walk out the gym, and I knew what was going on. So can't see it at the football
right,
game to,
right.
where they're sitting at. But thanks for taking my anxiety.
Yeah. So would you rather be upstairs, in the suite and having the ability to go out, or would you rather be sitting in the end zone waiting for him if he scores to hand you the football? Because if he goes to hand you the football, and then they're all like, "No, she went to the bathroom. She's gone. She's in line."
My dad will
hold it for him.
I'll hold it for him.
But can you hold it for him?
I do. Okay. I do hold it together for him. I think I've always accepted all of their stress.
Yeah.
I mean, when they say anxiety is real, for real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to the point where I get sick and I have to take medicine. So, I've been good up until I haven't watched TV this week. Sitting here was a little stressful, like, oh my gosh, they're really talking about this game.
So come kickoff. Obviously, if things go really, really well, do you ever relax? Do you always stay nervous until it's over?
Real answer?
Yeah. Well, you made him tell the truth. This comes from mom.
If I take a couple of drinks and
you're in relax, a drinking state, for God's sakes.
I'm good for a little bit, but other than that, no.
You know, that if you go to the Sports Vernacular for Parents Dictionary in the state of Wisconsin, that is being a Wisconsinite. You got to have a couple of drinks along the way. Yeah. So, obviously, a big game coming up, so you know your anxieties for this game and where it is. Can you imagine in 3 weeks where it would be? If instead of you and I sitting at a party at a cigar event and having a cocktail, that you know that on that Sunday where he's going to be?
Oh, but we're still going to be there Friday night.
I know we're going to be there Friday night.
But, yeah, we're going to be there Friday night.
Yeah, but could you imagine what that day would be like? Have you ever envisioned that, your son playing in a Super Bowl?
I've never envisioned any of this, to be honest with you. Never, ever.
Did you think he'd be in the NFL?
I've never given it any thought.
Because I remember when before he was even drafted, right, when Lee came walking you guys around, and which, by the way, when they brought him to us, they let him in Radio Row, made the parents stand outside and watch, which I thought was just crazy. But you guys stood there, and then we came over and we talked for a little bit. But from that day that we sat down and talked, and he wasn't even drafted by the NFL, they just kept walking by going, hey, you want to talk to Aaron Jones? Wink. Okay, we'll talk to Aaron. Did you envision at any point in time that we'd be sitting here like this today?
No. It didn't become a reality until he got drafted. And even then, I don't think I understood all of it till the cuts. Once they made the cuts, I'm like, okay, this is real now. And over the 3 years, I've accepted it more. But it's still like a dream and everything is in a blare. So now it's starting to slow down. I'm like, oh, okay, I have been in the stadium three times. So,
did you? That first day you and I talked. Did you ever think that you'd be sitting here today in a divisional game, and could you envision it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I
told my mom as a little kid I'm going to go play in the NBA or the NFL, and everything I've said I was going to do, I put my mind to it, hard work, and I've accomplished that. And last year, I said we were going to the Super Bowl, and we're working hard to get there. So everything I say, I mean truly from the bottom of my heart. I feel like if you believe in yourself enough, you'll put in the work, and you keep God first, everything will work itself out.
Yeah. On that note, we can't go any further than that. That's absolutely perfect. You going to be okay on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, if anybody's out there going to be tailgating, she needs a drink. All right? There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Joneses joining us up here. Hey, thanks everybody for coming out tonight. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. Thanks to Lodge Coolers. Thanks to UB and Abraham. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to Under Warmer, Sartori Cheese, Wisconsin Athletic Club Hall of Fame, and also thanks to the Green Bay Legends Cruise and Lammy Sports Management. It's time for us to go. Enjoy the divisional weekend, everybody. Hopefully, we're right back here. We're talking about a trip to an NFC Championship game. Until then, have an absolutely positively terrific night. Have a go with Zip.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.